Friday to remanage the Chof Beis Av Tovshin Ayin Tes, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Stanton.
The story is told of the Rav of a shul that every single week, he used to speak once a week, his sermon on Shabbos morning was exactly 12 minutes long. Every week, 12 minutes, no longer, no shorter. One week, he came in and he surprised everyone. He spoke for an extra 5 minutes. He spoke for 17 minutes. So after davening, the people in the kehillah said, like, what is it? Every single week it's 12 minutes and suddenly this week it's 17 minutes. So he said, it's very simple. He said, I'm very, very busy. I don't have much time to prepare my sermon. When do I prepare? Prepare on the way to shul. So it's an exact 12-minute walk from my house to the shul on Shabbos morning. He said, last night it was snowing, and there was lots of snow and ice on the floor, and it took me an extra 5 minutes to get here, so the drosha was 17 minutes. So I have to tell people that I came last night from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and the taxi arrived at 4:45 Israeli time to pick me up. And I only got in at 3:45 English time with all the delays into the place I was staying. So, but Ezra Hashem, I'll try and cut the drosha short. That way people have time to get home for Shabbos. Okay. I'd like to use the opportunity to publicly thank Menachem David and all the other organizers. Even though I live in Eretz Yisrael, over the last 7 or 8 years, Bli Ayin Hara, you know, I don't think I've missed a single drosha of Rabbi Yossi Chazan. That's Kimat, maybe over 300 droshas I've heard from him. And also I use the opportunity every so often my father speaks, I listen to his droshas. And really, you know, sometimes a person's speaking and he sees 20, 30 people here. There's a lot of people around that actually listen to the droshas. And one of them, you know, I download the shiurim and I listen to them. So gross shkoyach for all the effort that goes into it. So Menachem David told me that if I'm speaking on a Friday, I should try and maybe speak out a few points on the parasha. That way some people have something to say over, something to go into Shabbos with. So I went through the Sedra, and I've got 6 points. Some of them are my own ideas, some of them are ideas which I expounded on. But Ezra Hashem, I'll try and go through them. If there's a little bit of time at the end, maybe I've got a little bit of a Dvar Halacha on the mitzvah of Tefillin. So, Parashas Ekev, the very first Pasuk, Voya Ekev Tishmu'un. So Rashi brings down that Ekev Tishmun, the heel shall listen. What does it mean, the heel shall listen? Ekev is an interesting word. Says Rashi, this means even mitzvahs, which a person tramples on with his heel, shouldn't be kalbei necha. Even mitzvahs kalos, you know, certain mitzvahs, you know, people say, oh, this isn't such a big mitzvah, and they're not that concerned about being mekayim such a mitzvah. These, precisely, these mitzvahs, the Pasuk is telling us that we should be keeping these mitzvahs, and as the parasha goes on, if we keep these mitzvahs, then Hashem will give us all of the reward. So I was thinking, you know, this word mitzvahs kalos, what does mitzvahs kalos mean? So as far as I know, twice in Maseches Ovos we have this terminology, mitzvahs kalos. The first time it comes in Ovos is in Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. Rebbe says,
a
person should be careful about a mitzvah kala kavachamura because you don't know the reward of mitzvahs. And the Baal Tanura explains that we've got mitzvahs loisase and mitzvahs asei. Mitzvahs loisase, we do know, do you know, if we break certain loisases, there are greater punishments and other loisases are lesser punishments. However, says the Baal Tanura, Rebbe's coming to tell us by mitzvahs asei, where the Torah doesn't tell us the reward for keeping them. Sometimes a person might think, you know, since the world, you know, aren't very concerned about such and such mitzvah, it's not such a big one, says Rebbe, we don't actually know the reward of mitzvahs. It could be that this specific mitzvah, which people don't treat properly, precisely, this is one of the big mitzvahs. As a result of that, Rebbe tells us, you know, keep all mitzvahs. This could be one of the big ones. The next time it comes is in Perek Daled Mishnah Beis, there it's Ben Azai. Ben Azai says something a little bit different. Ben Azai oimer hevi rots le mitzvah kala kevachamura. A person should run after a mitzvah kala like he would run after a mitzvah chamura. And again, the Baal Tanura explains that based on what we learnt in the earlier Mishnah, that we don't actually know the reward of mitzvahs, says the Baal Tanura, even if this actually is one of the smaller mitzvahs, yeah, the people treat it as a smaller mitzvah, maybe it actually is. Says the Baal Tanura, still, then Azai is saying we should run after this mitzvah. Why? So the Mishnah goes on to explain, because two things. Number one, mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. One mitzvah causes another mitzvah. And number two, schar mitzvah, mitzvah. And the Baal Tanura says that these two things are, the first thing is a physical thing. A person does a mitzvah, and the person familiarizes himself with being mekayim mitzvahs. It leads to doing other mitzvahs. The more mitzvahs we do, the easier it is to fulfill other mitzvahs. So even if this is actually a small mitzvah, it's going to lead to bigger mitzvahs. And the second thing the Mishnah says, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. And the first pshat brought down is that even if it's a small mitzvah, but Hashem gives a special siyat d'shmai for people that fulfill mitzvahs, habolatayim asayin oisa, and Hashem will bring along our path more mitzvahs. Yeah? So these two mishnayos that we just saw, you know, that's what's going on here in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Ekev tishmon, be very careful about these small mitzvahs. Number one, because we don't actually know what's big or small. And number two, even if in reality it is actually a small mitzvah, physically it will lead to you doing other mitzvahs, and also you'll have siyat d'shmaya, Hashem will send other mitzvahs along your path. Okay. That's the first point. The second point I would like to speak about is a few psukim later. So there the posuk says, V'noshal, it's talking about when we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, V'noshal Hashem Elokecha Sagoyim El Miponecho Ma'at Ma'at Lo Yisuchal Kaloyson Mehep En Terba Olecho Chayes HaSode. So this is a posuk in Parashas Ekev, a very, very similar posuk in Parashas Mishpatim. It says that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to be able to conquer them very quickly, because pentir ba'olecho chayes hasodeh, there'll be lots of wild animals. So Rashi, interestingly, same pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, almost Rashi in Mishpatim doesn't say anything, but over here, Rashi in Parashas Ekev quotes a Sifri. What does the Sifri say? There's actually two opinions in the Sifri. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if Hashem would conquer Eretz Yisrael very quickly, since there's not a lot of us, we're all going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and there won't be enough of us to inhabit the land. As a result of that, Eretz Yisrael will be barren, because we've not yet been living there for long enough to build and to multiply. And a result would be, is there'll be lots of wild animals. As a result of that, says Hashem, I'm going to do it very slowly. We'll drive out a bit of them, and you'll come, and we'll drive out more, and more of you will come. That way, there'll never be a situation where there's barren land. If there's never a situation of barren land, then you won't have any problems with wild animals. That's basically what the posuk is saying. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Sifri asks a question. Who cares if there's wild animals? Yeah, the posuk in the Novi says, V'chayas hasodeh hashlom aloch, that even if there's wild animals, but wild animals will make peace with you. So again, Hashem should wipe them out very quickly, or be there to look. There will be wild animals, but we won't have any problems with the wild animals, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which Rashi quotes his opinion here in Parashas Ekev. Obviously, we were going to do an Aveira. If we're going to do an Aveira, then this Havtoch of the Posuk, V'chayas HaSodah Shalom Aloch, won't apply. If it won't apply, the animals will be a threat to us. As a result of that, it will be done slowly, the transition. Okay. Rabbi Yitzchok in the Sifri disagrees. Rabbi Yitzchok in the Sifri learns, comes out that he disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he actually learns that, no, this pasuk is talking about a time in history where we won't necessarily do an Aveira. As a result of that, l'chayre, it's a very good question. If we're not going to do any Aveira, so we're not very worried about the wild animals, so then we're back to square one, why can't Hashem drive them out quickly? So I was thinking maybe a possible mahalach to answer this. There's a Mishnah in Meseches Ovos, Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says, it's going through Ben Zoymer, who's a Chochom, who's a Gibur, who's a Oshe, etc. So by Oshe, very cryptic words. Ezu Oshe, who is a Oshe? So first of all, who is an Oshe? So the first thing that comes to mind, what do you mean who is an Oshe? If someone has $1 million, then he's going to be an Oshe. He's physically very wealthy. But obviously, this is not the answer of the Mishnah. Why is this not the answer of the Mishnah? Because an Oshe means that he actually appreciates and he actually in, internally he feels like he's an osher. Just because someone has X amount of money, the Medrash says, very likely a person has a lot of money, but he wants more money. Esav, we know, said yesh li koil. He had everything, but he still wanted more. So having a lot of money... Okay, say that. Either way, whatever Esav said, Esav was trying to allude to the fact that he didn't have everything, even though he had a very lot. So the Medrash says, "Ein odem meis v'chatzi tavotzi biyodi." A person always wants more. So having physically a very lot isn't necessarily an osher. Okay. So what does Ben Azai say? What does Ben Zoma say? Ben Zoma says, "Hatsomech b'chelkoi." If you're very happy with what you've got, regardless of how much, how little it is, if you're happy, then that's called an osher. Why? Like we just explained, the person's happy. So whatever it is, $100, $1,000, this, he's an osher. So now the Mishnah brings a posuk. The posuk is famous posuk, Yegia kapecho ki soichel, the hard work of your hand you shall eat. Now what's the connection? Where do we see in this posuk anything to do with being happy with what you've got? Anything to do with the definition of wealth is to do with being happy? The posuk says, the hardness of your hands you will eat. So it could be that the posuk, Ben Zoma is trying to teach us, how is it possible to get to a level where one appreciates what one has. On that, he quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Yegia kapecho ki soichel." If a person works hard for something, then he fully appreciates what he has. If he fully appreciates what he has, he's going to be happy with what he has. He won't necessarily always be looking for more, and he'll be a true osher. This is, the Gemara in Bava Metzia already basically says this. The Gemara says, Odom roitze bekav shaloi mitisho kavim shel chaveiro. And Rashi explains, if a person works hard for one measure, it's preferable to him than receiving nine measures. What a person puts effort in, that's what he appreciates. That's the true samech b'chelkoi, and that's the true osher. Based on this, you saw it, there's a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says, Homon min ha-Torah minayin. How do we know Homon from the Torah? And it quotes a pasuk in Parashas Bereishis, Hamin ho-eitz, to which all the Meforishim say, very nice, it says Hamin ho-eitz. This is Hashem was telling Adam HaRishon, you shouldn't eat Hamin ho-eitz from this tree. Okay, so we've got the letters Hey Mem Nun, but what's the connection to Homon? And Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv of Kelm says, Moir de Kavot, he says that Adam HaRishon had everything. One thing he didn't have, and that was he couldn't eat from this specific tree, and that brought about his downfall because that's what he was focusing on. Lehavdil Homon HaRosha was the same. He also had everything, wealth and children, but there was one thing. One old man didn't bow down to him, and again, that's what he fixated on, and that brought down his downfall. Mamish, the same idea as here. Person's downfall can come, he's not focusing on what he has, rather on the one little tiny thing he doesn't have. Based on this idea, I was actually thinking, just to explain it, that Hogufa, so why was Adam HaRishon and why was Homon fixating on what they didn't have? Maybe to do with this same idea, because what they had, they didn't necessarily put effort in. We know the Medrash tells us that Homon rose to power almost overnight. He married into it, and from a stable boy, he went straight up to the top of the ladder. He didn't have to put any effort in. The Medrash also says that Homon, if you check the list of the advisors, the first time round, he was Memuchan, and that's one of the lower ones. Overnight, he rose to power, and he had wealth, and he had children. What? He wasn't a stable boy. He was a barber. It could be he cut horse's hair, I don't know, but either way. Yeah, overnight he became, without putting in much effort, he mamish got to the top. And we know Adam HaRishon as well was born into Gan Eden, he was created in Gan Eden, it wasn't something he worked for. So again, this could be the same idea, rather than focus, since they didn't have to put in effort, they didn't focus on what they had, rather on what they didn't have. And I was thinking, according to this, it's also very nice that Adam HaRishon, what did Hashem say to him? Hashem said, now you're going to leave Gan Eden and Bezeh Sapecho Toich Alechem. So the Poshet Pshat is, Bezeh Sapecho Toich Alechem is a punishment. But it could be based on this. It's not just a punishment, it's a tikkun. Meaning that until now, the problem was that you hadn't put in much effort. As a result, you weren't appreciating, and that was your downfall. Now you're going to leave Gan Eden, Bezeh Sapecho Toich Alechem, and now you'll appreciate what you have. So based on all of the above, so maybe we can get back to the pasuk. So again, we started off, what's the pshat in Rabbi Yitzchok? Rabbi Yitzchok says that we're doing mitzvahs when we go into Eretz Yisrael. We don't need to be worried of the wild animals. As a result of that, why does Hashem have to drive them out very slowly? Why can't Hashem drive them out quickly? So maybe this is the idea. If Hashem would drive them out very quickly, we wouldn't have this appreciation for Eretz Yisrael. If something comes instant without putting much work in, then we won't have that appreciation that's necessary. As a result, says Hashem, I'm going to do it very slowly, and then you'll properly appreciate what I'm giving you. It's point number two. A few pesukim later, the pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'yodato im levovecho ki kashe yaser ish esbenoi Hashem elikecho miyasereko." How Hashem, do you know, punishes Klal Yisrael? How a father punishes and gives Yisurim to his son? That's how Hashem gives you Yisurim. So the Poshuk Peshat in the Posuk is that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to something which happened to a few Psukim earlier. A few Psukim earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael that Hashem led you in the Midbar for 40 years. Leman anoyzecho, lenasoyzecho, lodas es asher buvovcho, hasishma mitzvois avim loy. Rashi explains that Hashem was leading us in the Midbar for 40 years. Ah, and Hashem made it difficult. And why did Hashem make it difficult? And Rashi says, to see if we'll be faithful. That, you know, not always is life easy. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult. We do deserve it. We don't deserve it. We might be mahara after Hashem. How can you do this to us? So no, that's why Hashem makes life difficult. Yeah? So that's the second thing Moshe Rabbeinu says a pasuk later is, that why did Hashem give us the mon, which is a food which we didn't know, our fathers didn't know, to teach us a lesson that parnosa and food is something which comes from Hashem. So now this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says that Hashem gives us Yisurim, like a father gives a child Yisurim. The Poshup Shat is it's going on these previous Pesukim. Now, why does a father give a child a Yisurim? Either, like we just spoke out, to see if a child will be faithful. That's the 40 years in the desert, to see if we're faithful to Hashem. Or to teach us a moral lesson that the Parnosa, whatever it is from Shamayim. Maybe a little interpretation of what the Pshat in Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, how a father gives Musa, a Yisurim, an Oynosh, a punishment to his son, that's how Hashem treats us. There's a Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas brings out a fascinating story. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this was Bizman HaChurban. He was once going outside Yerushalayim, and he saw a lady, and she was picking from the Glolei Behema of Arabs. She was picking out kernels, and that's what she was eating. And he turns to her and he says, "What's going on here? Who are you?" And she says, "She's the daughter of Nakhdiman ben Gurion." So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "The daughter of Nakhdiman ben Gurion." I remember a few years earlier, he was from the three wealthiest people in Yerushalayim. Not only that, the Gemara says that I remember that by Yochasna, there was a ksuba, and the nedunya of the ksuba was 1 million gold coins, which I saw actually in the Blue Art Scroll. They bring down a footnote that 1 million gold coins of today's money would be the equivalent of $185 million. Tremendously high nedunya. Your father was so rich, and here you are a few years later. We know there's a churban, but still, how can you go from so high to so low that your mum is picking out the kernels from the animals, and not just kernels of animals, animals belonging to Arabs, the Gemara speaks out. So she says, the Gemara brings down two reasons. Either, do you know, the father gave tzedakah, but it was for covered purposes, or the Gemara says that according to the camel is its load, meaning he was wealthy and it could be he gave tzedakah and it may have not necessarily been for covered reasons, but he should have given more tzedakah. Okay. As a result of that, he lost his money and here I am today. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, Klal Yisrael, that when you're doing what the Eibishter wants from you, no one, do you know, can come anywhere near us. And then he says, and praiseworthy are you, Klal Yisrael, that when you don't do what the Eibishter wants, your mamish fall to the lowest level. So I remember years ago when I was in Shari Torah, I used to learn with Rabbi Akiva Greenberg Night Seder in his house. And it was before Tisha B'Av. And he asked me, he said over this Gemara, and he said to me, he said, what's the pshat? Why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are Yisrael, that when we're not doing what Hashem wants from us, we fall to such a low level? So he gave me an answer, his own answer. I can't remember what he said, but a few years later, I saw this is a Marashah's question. Marashah asked this question, what's the second Ashreichem doing here? Marashah has his own Mahalach. But maybe one could speak out based on a moshul, you know, to try and understand the Ashrecha. Let's say you've got a father, and a father takes his child on a trip. And who comes with? His child's best friend. And they're going on the outing, and they both run into the road. So what does the father do? You can imagine it's dangerous, it's a busy road. The father tells his child off, you know, he shouts at his child, he might even smack his child, it's dangerous, you can't do this, you could have killed yourself. What does the father do to the child's best friend? Not much. Definitely doesn't smack him, otherwise that'll be the last time he'll be taking any of his children's friends on outings. Maybe maximum will tell him, I'll tell your father later, you shouldn't be doing this, but he definitely doesn't treat the child's best friend like he treats his own child. That for sure not. So the child who's a little child turns around and says, do you know, it's crazy, you like him more than you like me. We both did exactly the same thing. You shout at me. You might have even given me a little smack. And to him, you basically said nothing. And the father turns around and says, you're a little child, but it's actually exactly the opposite. He's not my child. You're my child. I love you. As a result of that, I was petrified, you know, that you're running into the road. So maybe that could be the pshat in the Gemara as well. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying, you know, praiseworthy are Klal Yisrael, we're so close to Hashem that when we do the wrong thing, Hashem gives us such a big punishment. You can't have a bigger proof than that Klal Yisrael are close to Hashem. The Goyim might do wrong things, and Hashem, a little punishment, nothing major. Klal Yisrael, you see how close we are, we're mamish like Hashem's children. So now to go back to the pasuk, that could be what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. That not just Hashem treats us like a child, you know, to see if we're faithful or to teach us moral lessons, but more than that, he's telling Klal Yisrael, if you do Averas in the future, which it's inevitable, you will do Averas, and Hashem will give you a severe punishment for those Averas, you should know it's Kashe Yase Ishes Benoi Kein Hashem Yasereko. It's Hashem's only punishing you, Gufa, because we're like Hashem's children and we're so close to Hashem. Okay, now the next point I would like to speak out is, this is already, anyone that would speak Parashas Ekev, you know, speaks about the first pasuk after Chamishi. V'ato Yisroel, mo Hashem elekecho, shoyul me'imoch, ki im le'yiro es Hashem elekecho, lo leches b'chol droch v'lavo yisi v'lavo des Hashem elekecho, v'chol v'chol nafshecho. What does Hashem, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, what does Hashem demand from you? Nothing much, just a bit of Yiras Shamayim, that's all. The Gemara in Sota famously asks, the Gemara in Brochus famously asks, like, what's going on here, do you know? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, all Hashem asks from you is a bit of Yerushalayim. Derech Agav, it's interesting, the Pasuk actually lists seven things that Hashem asks from us. Yerushalayim is the first on the list. I'm saying the others aren't that small themselves. La'ava oizle, la'avad Hashem kech, cholavov chol nafshecho, lishmer es mitzvoyisov, chukoyisov. Say that the Gemara picks up on the first on the list and says, Yerushalayim, is it such a small thing? The Gemara gives its answer. The Gemara says, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu it was such a small thing. Okay. So maybe to give a little mahaloch in, is Yiras Shamayim such a small thing? So at the beginning of the Pasuk, Mo Hashem Elekecho. So on this there's another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos says, Mo, what does Hashem ask from you? You have to insert the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph changes it from Mo to Meo. Meo Hashem Elekecho Shol Me'imoch. Hashem asks for 100. What do you mean, 100? That we all know, 100 brochas every day. Maral explains the Gemara and says the whole idea of making 100 brochas every day is if 100 times a day a person stops and a person's about to eat an apple and he thinks, an apple, this comes from a tree, thank you Hashem, Bopio 8. A lightning, a thunder, and he makes the brocha. And he goes throughout the day stopping 100 times to make brochas, says Maral, this will lead to Yiras Shamayim. Yeah? It's inevitable. If a person stops to think 100 times a day where things come from and he makes the relevant brocha, then this is a recipe for Yiras Shamayim. And that's precisely why they instituted 100 brochas a day, to add in this dose of Yiras Shamayim. So based on this Gemara in Menachos with Maral's explanation, so the Gemara in Brocha really, the Gemara in Brocha's question, is Yiras Shamayim such a big thing? It could be answered already. You're right, Yiras Shamayim is a very big thing. But if we follow the beginning of the Pasuk, if we stop 100 times a day and we make Brochas and we stop and think where we're coming from, then Yiras Shamayim is definitely somewhat smaller. Poyel Yotze comes out from making all these Brochas is that Yiras Shamayim is connected to that. Point number five. So now, point number five is something we say in the Yitin Lecho every Motzah Shabbos. Yeah, it's a Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph. In the Yitin Nachoy, it brings out Omer Reb Yochanan. Let's just quote it. He's quoting a pasuk in this week's Sedra. B'chol mokim shat moitzei gedulosei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shom at moitzei anvesor nusoi. Wherever we find the gedula of Hashem, there we find the humility of Hashem. And Reb Yochanan goes on to quote three ones from Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, where we see the gedula of Hashem, and we also see the humility of Hashem. So years ago, when I was a yeshiva boch, I used to visit my grandmother in Swiss Cottage. In the summer, we used to normally go for a week. And like the nearest shul was the St. John's Wood United Synagogue. And I still remember it was Parashas Akev. And it wasn't the Rav of the shul, it was one of the English rabbis that happened to be visiting the shul. And he spoke, and he gave a sermon, a 15-minute, 10-minute sermon before Musaf. And he actually quoted this Gemara here, and said the Gemara quoted Pasuk in this week's Sedra. And he actually made an interesting observation. Yeah, what does it say? The Pasuk says Hashem's very great, and it quotes how great Hashem is. And the very next Pasuk is, Oise mishpat yosem v'almona v'oyev ge loses lo lechem v'simlo. Hashem deals with yosemim and almonos, and he loves the geirim, etc. That's the humility of Hashem. So he made an interesting observation. He says, normally the world thinks that what's humility? Humility is a very big person that makes himself very small. He said, no, you see very clearly from this passage, humility isn't to make yourself small. Rather, humility is to notice small people and to raise them up. That's humility. Someone that walks around all day, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, I'm nothing, but he ignores the rest of the world, that's not humility. Humility is to realize what you are. On the contrary, even though I might be great, I might be this, I might be a Talmud Chacham, but to look at the people that are looked down upon and to bring them up, that's true humility. Here is Furusha Pasuk, that the humility of the Eibishter is that the Eibishter, the Yisoyimim and the Amonis and the Geirim, Hashem's metapel with them, Hashem helps them, and Hashem brings them up. That was the idea that he said over. I was just thinking, to add on to that idea, one could maybe say, the Pasuk tells us that Moshe was an honor of Mikol Adam. Yeah, greatest honor that ever lived. And all the Mephoshim say, what's the pshat in this? Moshe Rabbeinu spoke pear to the Eibishter. How can it be it was such a big honor? What, did he really think he was nothing? He wasn't fooling himself. He realized he was the own Loikom Novi Kemoshe. If we know the phrase in Chazal, the phrase in the Pasuk, Loikom Novi Kemoshe, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, also knew it. So what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble? So Mephoshim give different explanations. He realized that Hashem gave him the Koyach or whatever it was. But based on this, one can say there was no bigger person in Klal Yisrael that raised up Klal Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Every time we did Averas with the Meraglim and with the Cheto Egel, who was the one that was advocating by the Eibishter for us? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the true humility. True humility is to take people from a low level and try and bring them up as high as possible. So it's not a contradiction. Moshe Rabbeinu could have spoken to Hashem, but he brought up Klal Yisrael, and that was his whole life's ambition. That's the real anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And now I'll say over Bez Hashem one more point, and then if there's a little bit of time, I'll say over maybe a little Dvar Halacha on the Pasuk. So the last point I would like to speak out is a vort from the Satmar Rebbe. Yeah, the Satmar Rebbe says, the Pasuk says, Eretz Asher Hashem Elikech Adorish Oiso Tomid, Einei Hashem Elikech Obo Meireishis Hashono Vad Acharis Shono. And the Satmar Rebbe says that Hashem is Doirish Eretz Yisrael the whole time, Hashem's eyes are constantly there. Meireishis hashono vad acharis shono. And Satmar Rebbe says a vertel. Yeah? He says, Meireishis hashono. Every year we start off the year and we say, hashono, this will be the year. Yeah, this year we're going to, comes Rosh Hashanah, New Year's resolutions, this year will be hashono, the year. Says the Satmar Rebbe, vad acharis shono. It doesn't say hashono, it says vad acharis shono. At the end of the year, unfortunately, Shana, it was a regular year like any other year. It wasn't anything specific. We didn't necessarily fulfill what we wanted to fulfill. He says, Masha Einkein, in Nusach Tzfad, in Kedusha of Musa, we say, Hein Goalti Eschem Acharis Kereishis, that when the Geula Shalema comes, then Acharis, the end of the year, will be Kereishis, like the beginning of the year, meaning Kereishis, at the beginning of the year, we said it's going to be Hashonah, the end of the year will actually fulfill what we wanted to fulfill. So very nice, a nice little sweet vertel. But I was thinking that it could be, just to add on to this, by my second son, his bris milah was Parashas Akev, so I said over this Satmar Rebbe, and I added on a little bit from myself, yeah? Now, if you check the Pasuk, It says Meireshis Hashana Vad Acharis Shana. The word Meireshis, it says Chosa Aleph. Normally Reishis, Meireshis is spelt with an Aleph. Here, Meireshis is without an Aleph. So we all know that Aleph stands for Aluf Yishel Olam, Aleph stands for the Eibishter. So maybe that's the pshat, that until Mashiach comes, sometimes we say, Hashana, it's going to be the year, but unfortunately if it's a Reishis without an Aleph, if at the beginning of the year, you know, we don't add the Eibishter necessarily into the equation, then it doesn't always follow through that we'll fulfill what we want to, and it could be at the end of the year it'll be Shana. By the Geulah Shalem, it'll be Hengo Al Tiaschem Acharis Kareishis, then it'll be every the Achris, the Reishis, will all be with our Lufish El Olam, will be with the Eibishter. As a result of that, you know, we'll go through the year and we'll fulfill Be'ez Hashem that which he wanted to fulfill. So now, just to say over a short Dvar Halacha, that the MS is that the Psukim are really based in last week's Sedra. In Parashas Vayetzchanan, we have the first parasha of Krishma. In Parashas Ekev, we have the second parasha of Krishma. Both Vayetzchanan and Ekev, the Pasuk says that it should be a ois. In Vayetzchanan, it says ois al yodecho, the first paragraph. Ashenkin in Parashas Ekev, it says l'ois al yedchem. Yeah, ois, tefillin, we all know, is an ois. The Gemara Menachos says, brings down the Machloikas, Rabbi Yosi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosi Aglili, speaking about tefillin, the Pasuk in Parashas Boi says, you shall guard this choik miyomim yomima. Says Rabbi Yosi Aglili, miyomim yomima, he makes a drosha, yomim v'loy leilois. We wear tefillin by day and not by night, but it says the word miyomim. That extra mem, he makes another drosha, miyomim means some of the days. What do you mean some of the days? Not Shabbos. Yeah, so Rabbi Yosi Aglili, true droshas, yomim v'loy leilois, miyomim v'loy shabbosos v'yomim tovim. Bakiva comes along and Bakiva says, no, you're quoting a Pasuk in Parashas Boi Miyomim Yomimo, where it says the word choik, you think it's talking about tefillin. It's actually talking about the Korban Pesach, it's talking about something unrelated altogether. Says the Gemara, so what, Rabbi Akiva holds that you wear tefillin by night and you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Akiva has a different Pasuk. Pasuk in Parashas Vayetzchanan, which same wording in Parashas Ekev. Taka, you wear tefillin by night. However, what about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Rabbi Akiva says that we've got a pasuk that says ois, lois al yodcho, ois al yedchem. Last week sedra, this week sedra, ois. Tefillin is a ois, it's a sign. Shabbos and Yom Tov have their own signs, if they have their own signs, so we don't need the ois of tefillin. So you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rashi brings down that, what do you mean Shabbos and Yom Tov have their own signs? So Shabbos, we all know it says, ki ois hi le'olam. The Ritva in Erevin says, what about Yom Tov? It doesn't say Ois by Yom Tov, says the Ritva. I have a very hard Ritva to understand, but I think he's saying that since it says Shabbos Soin is referring to Yom Tov as well. So you see, Yom Tov is also referred to by Shabbos, and since by Shabbos it says Ois, so the word Ois by Shabbos is also referring to Yom Tov. So again, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says we don't wear tefillin on the night, and we don't wear tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva says we do wear tefillin by night, but Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't, for a separate reason, nothing to do with miyomim, but rather to do with ois. So there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin says, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud, the Rambam says that we don't wear tefillin by night, and he brings down the posuk of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, because it says yomim v'loy leilois. Says the Rambam, and we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, now one would expect the Rambam to say, because it says miyomim. You only wear tefillin some of the time, but not all the time, not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam's not consistent. The Rambam says, you know why you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Because it says ois, and Shabbos and Yom Tov have their own ois. So already the Kesef Mishnah picks up on this, and the Kesef Mishnah says, what's going on here? By day and not night, he brings down the Pasuk of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And instead of following through with Rabbi Yosi Aglili, he actually brings down the Pasuk of Rabbi Akiva, which is ois. So the Kesef Mishnah has a mahalach. The Kesef Mishnah says, because at the end of the day, there's two machloikas in here. One machloikas is, do you wear tefillin by night or not? And on that, it's machloikas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But it's not just Rabbi Yosi Aglili. There's lots of tanoim that hold that you don't wear tefillin by night. And since the general rule is the halach is not like Rabbi Akiva, when many people disagree with Rabbi Akiva, so the Rambam brings down Rabbi Yosi Aglili's reason that you wear tefillin by night, you don't wear tefillin by night, because it says yomim v'loy leilois, because many people disagree with Rabbi Akiva. Says the Keser Mishnah, when we're talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's a machloikas. Which pasuk do you learn from? That's only a machloikas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Is it learned from miyomim or is it learned from ois? On that, the general rule is that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva from Chavei Roy. As a result of that, the Rambam brings his pasuk. That's what the Keser Mishnah says. Okay, very nice. Is there actually a nafka minna, though, that the Rambam Bedafka chooses the posuk of Rabbi Akiva, which is ois, and not the posuk of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, which is miyomim? Okay, very nice that the halach is like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, because he's only arguing with one person. But what, it's only a shaila of which posuk do you learn from? There must be some nafka minna here. So in Ramat Beit Shemesh, a year ago, I was one of the Talmidim that I learned with was his bar mitzvah. So however, his bar mitzvah drosha, they wanted me to prepare a drosha, so they asked me to something to do with tefillin. So this is actually the drosha that I prepared for him. So I said over, I found a very nice Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh in Siman Mem Aleph says, he brings down everything I just said. You've got the Rambam, and you've got the Keser Mishnah, the Machlokes in Menachos. And the Shagas Aryeh says, yes, there is a nafka minna between, if you learn out from the posuk of Yomim, the Mi Yomim, the Loi Shabbos for Yom Tov, like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, or if you learn out from the Pasuk of Ois, like Rabbi Akiva, but Shabbos and Yom Tov don't need an Ois, that's why we don't wear tefillin. Says the Shagas Aryeh, at the beginning of the Pasuk of Mi Yomim Yomimo, it says the word Veshomarito. Now, says the Shagas Aryeh, we know that the word Veshomarito is one of the words used that means an Issa, you're not allowed to. See, he brings out that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, his pasuk says, "V'shomarito," you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, where he learns from Ois, it just means that Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't need an Ois. It's not a zman for tefillin, but there wouldn't necessarily be an issa involved in wearing tefillin. So based on the Shagas Aryeh, it's very nice, the Keser Mishnah in the Rambam, that the Rambam isn't just saying, do you know, yeah, why not bring down Rabbi Akiva's posuk because Rabbi Akiva's only arguing with Rabbi Yosef Aglili, who's one person. There could actually be a nafka minna lahalocha, which posuk you learn from. On that, the Rambam, Bedafka, brings out the posuk of Rabbi Akiva because it's only Rabbi Akiva mechavei Roy. So maybe just to sum up very quickly, first point we said, we spoke about the mitzvahs kalos, we don't actually know which mitzvah is greater or not, and even if we would know, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, Hashem gives us Siyat Dishmaya. The next idea was, if Hashem drives out everyone from Klal Yisrael, everyone from Eretz Yisrael very quickly, we won't have the proper Koros HaToiv to Eretz Yisrael, that's why Hashem has to do it slowly. The next point we spoke out was, a father gives Yisurim to his son, very hard Yisurim, as a Oynosh, why such hard Yisurim? Precisely because we're his son. The fourth point we spoke out was, what does Hashem ask from us? Yiras Shamayim, is it such a small thing? It's a big thing. And we said, actually, if there's Meir Brochis, it is quite a small thing, Yachasit. The fifth point we spoke out was, the Gedullah of Hashem and the Anivus of Hashem, real Anivus isn't lowering yourself, but bringing other people up. The sixth point we spoke out was, Mereishis Hashonat Achris Shona, that when the Geulah Shalema comes, do you know, it will be Achris Kareishis, and the whole reason why nowadays it might not be Achris Kareishis, because it's Chosa Aleph, there's no Aleph, there's no Eibishta. And then the last point we spoke out was this Machlokes, Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva with the Shagas Aryeh, about why you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, is it because of Miyomim, or is it because of Ois, and there could be enough Gemina Lahalocha if it's actually an Issa to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov like Rabbi Yosef Aglili because of the Shomarito, or it's not an Issa, it's just not the Zman tefillin, and that's why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Have a good Shabbos.